Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an unbelievably awesome day today. Blessed day as always. Great day down here at Health Masters. Busy as always. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Oh, absolutely blessed, Austin. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. And I'm really happy we're not in a big mushroom cloud. I'm just really happy about all of that. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of crazy with what just happened. Let me tell you, yesterday I replayed the Kabbalah show. And let me tell you why we did that. About 30 minutes, well, about an hour before I went on the air with Austin, we're supposed to be going live yesterday, I did a show with Mancal Mueller on the number five station in Chicago. And what ended up happening, he was promoting our podcast, and I was talking about Benjamin Netanyahu and talking about Israel and their tie-in to this Soleimani, you know, whatever you want to call it, assassination. And all of a sudden, you know, our producer calls us up about 20 minutes before the show and says, hey, my internet just went out. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And there may not be any relationship whatsoever why the internet went out and why we didn't, you know, meet on Mancow yesterday, but it's just always strange to me when that kind of stuff happens. I'm going to cover some stuff with you guys real quick, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background on what's going on. But right now, we need to realize that, you know, I've got to give Trump kudos. I think he was kind of shocked at what happened with the amount of technology and sophistication that the Iranian missiles had, that they have seemingly bought with the billions and billions of dollars that we gave them in the Iran nuclear deal, which is really nonsense. Barack Obama was involved with all that at all. And that the international banking cartels and weapons manufacturers made so much money from all of that again. But the irony of all of this stuff is I think everybody saw what Iran was capable of with the nuclear, well, not with the nuclear, but just with the conventional warfare weapons they sent out. They had told the United States, apparently, is what I have read, about 5 hours before the strike occurred, what they were going to be hitting. And it was primarily just a show of force to let everybody know that, you know, we're not going to play games with you guys, and in the event that you basically attack us, we're going to go full-blown attack into Israel, into your bases. And I think that we realize now how sophisticated their programs are simply because we gave them the weapons and gave them the ability to buy the weapons. So I think that great, you know, cooler heads are prevailing. The only problem I have is that the 82nd Airborne is fully mobilized on its way right now to Iraq in the Middle East. So I don't know if Trump's trying to just stall an attack on Iran until he get fully prepared for it, or if he really is standing down and wishing them the best. But the reality is, if you look at it this way, maybe Trump now is going to put a bunch of crippling sanctions as a cover for withdrawal from most of the Middle East. You know, Iran wants the U.S. out. Trump's original intention was to withdraw before the Russiagate forced him to stay, according to what he said. Thus, both Trump and Iran have a common interest in the U.S. withdrawal. I'll personally believe that when I see it, because I personally think that Trump is Netanyahu's puppet. That's what I believe, the Rothschild puppet. Remember, when I say Netanyahu, I mean Netanyahu slash Central Banks slash Kabbalists slash Rothschild. And so even though the Iranian missiles killed on one, they were very strategic where they hit, they did demonstrate that to Israel and to the rest of the world that they have pinpoint accuracy. However, the neoconservatives, the Wolfowitz gang, and the rest of these clowns, now they're going to be unhappy. They see chaos in Iran as a way of spreading instability into the Russian Federation, and the military security complex will be unhappy as the U.S. withdrawal will downsize profits. Trump is in a better position to stand up to these guys now, and I really liked what he did. He blew the whole thing into Obama's lap and said, this is Obama's problem. He did this. He gave them these weapons. And so I thought it was pretty good. Now, his decisions to kill this Soleimani guy I thought was ridiculous, and I really believe that was pushed into that position. He was pushed into that position because of Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, which through AIPAC and through the ADL pretty much run the United States of America, at least the Congress, which runs the country. In fact, in Newsweek just a few years ago, actually this is just a year ago, says it wants war with Iran and is meeting with Arab countries to advance war with Iran. I've posted this on the Health Masters news site. And then we also realize that the Politico says that Netanyahu lied about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Now he is saying the same thing about Iran. We need to realize Benjamin Netanyahu is a career, criminal. He's a consummate liar. And remember what his Talmud teaches. It basically says that he can do whatever he wants to do, and he can lie and cheat and kill, steal, whatever he wants to do, as long as he's not dealing with fellow Jewish folks. And so this guy is just an absolute, he's just a piece of crap is what he is. And he never stops lying. So he's pushing and pushing and pushing war with Iran. Another one, update number one, Israel Netanyahu urges support for U.S. against Iran's aggression. This is just a few months back. And Iran's not showing any aggression to the United States whatsoever. He's not doing it. They're not doing anything to us over here. They may be doing it over there, but he's not. They're not doing anything to us over here. And, you know, another one out of Breitbart, Netanyahu, Iran's aggression is growing, but its empire is tottering. I mean, this is just unbelievable. This is a month ago. The Times of Israel reports Lisbon, Portugal, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Wednesday called for increased action against Iran, indicating that the recent unrest in the Islamic Republic offers an opportunity to topple the regime. I mean, why are we involved in this? I'm gonna tell you why in just 1 second. And finally, it goes on to say that, you know, it's Netanyahu to corner world leaders on Iran at the NATO summit to push them again into basically attacking Iran and taking Iran out. And then after all of this happens, and after Netanyahu basically is pushed everybody into going to war with Iran, Netanyahu comes out and says, oh, by the way, this isn't our problem with Iran. Israel had nothing to do with this. Basically, this is a problem between the United States and Iran. And I'm like, what a snake. What a snake in the grass. This guy is such a liar. I mean, you know, he is pushed and pushed and pushed, and now all of a sudden we have nothing to do with this. We have nothing to do with any of this stuff. You know, then he says right here, he says Netanyahu backs away from the Soleimani assassination. He warns the ministers to stay out of a purely American event. Buddy, you make me want to puke. You nauseate me. You are so double-minded. So you speak out of both sides of your mouth all the time. I can't stand you, Netanyahu. I mean, he talks and talks and talks and talks and talks about pushing this war agenda with Netanyahu. Finally, something happens, and he goes, don't get too involved in the U.S. murder of Iranian general Soleimani, lest Tel Aviv gets dragged into the escalating conflict between Washington and Tehran. What is wrong with the people in the United States that they cannot see the snake? Why is he even ever on radio or TV? Why do they come? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Israel is a Rothschild fiefdom. Netanyahu is a Rothschild cutout. The only reason this man's not in prison and he's still in office is because the Rothschilds deem it so. This guy is a lying sack of methane. I mean, he can't, when his lips move, this man is lying. And to push this war, push this war, push this war, push this war, oh, we had nothing to do with that. No, it was probably a Mossad-led psych warfare program that was basically inside of, you know, Iraq that had located Soleimani, who was on a peace mission there, who gave the coordinates to our missiles and our systems and our drones. This is probably what happened. I'm speculating now. Israel is up to their yin-yang in this. Now, I just hope that Trump's not running up the 82nd Airborne over there in order to really do a full-scale escalation of this war, since the Rothschilds own him too, since they bailed him out of bankruptcy with Wilbur Ross back in the 80s. I don't know what the heck, or why you basically, you know, Ivanka, who's a Shabbatist, who's a doggone Kabbalist, who basically worships the snake in the tree, his daughter, who's constantly telling him what to do and trying to run the White House with Jared Kushner, his head guy. What the heck? Yeah. And all of these guys are going together to try to put together this giant, you know, Armageddon and basically to figure out, you know, what the heck's going on. And you know, as far as getting this new, you know, World War III to start up to bring in the new temple. In fact, it was so funny. There was actually an article on Breitbart. It wasn't on Breitbart. It was one of you guys sent it to me, and I pulled it up, and it basically said that what Israel was doing and what they're doing in the Middle East right now is they're trying to create World War III for the rebuilding of the Third Temple. And, you know, and you think about this for a second, you go, would they really, really do this? And, yeah, this is the whole key here. But again, nobody wants to talk about this. Nobody wants to say, hey, this was something that was basically orchestrated in order to bring in a third temple. In fact, this is an article that was done by Rob Call, and I've got it posted on the Health Master's website. I hate to keep referring to it, but I want you guys to be able to read it in detail. It says, why Trump unconstitutionally started a war with Iran to serve Israel. Now, here's what he says. Why has Trump done this? Because it's what the two parties want. The right-wingers in Israel, led by Netanyahu, the only leader of a nation to support Trump's act, and the right-wing Zionist supporters in the U.S., a relatively small group, and the 70 to 80 million rapture rabid evangelicals who are drooling and salivating to see a full blown out conflagration of war in the Middle East to bring on the rapture. So I've been telling you guys this, and this guy's calling it out absolutely straight. So Trump serves Netanyahu and Israel's Zionist right-wing supporters, and most important, Trump is, by setting the Middle East on fire, serves the evangelicals who are fantasizing how they are closer to being raptured up to heaven because the apocalyptic predictions of the end times are closer to reality. These are the same evangelicals, he calls them fake Christians, who embrace the most dishonest, vile, corrupt, evil president in the United States history. Without them, Trump is nothing. Trump feels invulnerable. Now, I'm just telling you what it says in this article. Now, I don't agree with everything it said about Trump being the worst, most vile president in history. I think that category goes to Abraham Lincoln, then it goes to Woodrow Wilson, and then it would be Barack Obama. That's how those three lay out for me, that I'd probably put a whole bunch of other people in there before Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is certainly not a John F. Kennedy. That he is not. You know, and he's not a Ronald Reagan. But here's the thing, guys. We have to understand that in the book of Thessalonians, it says that the Antichrist is going to come out of the temple, which is destroyed, so it has to be rebuilt, and declare himself God. That's what all of this is about. That's why I played that show yesterday on the Masonic Lodges and why they were so set on having a temple rebuilt, along with the hardcore Kabbalists to resurrect their serpent god. All of this stuff is in play right now, and nobody wants to talk about it. Now, the reason that we're in the Middle East right now, the only reason we're in the Middle East other than that, okay, would be for the petrodollar and the United States as a reserve currency. Because right now they're starting to buy dollars from the Middle East in petrodollars. And so that means that they're basically having to use United States currency, and it's holding the value of the dollar because we can't inflate the currency, so it's going to inflate the price of the petrodollar. So they found a way back in the 70s to tie it together with the dollar and the petrodollar to allow us to do this massive inflation of currency in circulation to allow the international bankers. It always comes back to these same guys to control the narrative. That's why we're there. We have plenty of fuel in the United States to supply ourselves. We don't need to bring imports in any longer. The problem is we're trying to maintain the reserve currency status of the world. Why? Because the Rothschilds deem it so. What do you think, Oz?
Well, then that ties in exactly what I was about to bring up. There is a news article that RT did, Russia Today, which, whether you guys like them or not, really doesn't matter. They had some really, really interesting stuff that I just watched yesterday. And they did an interview with Mohammed Mirandi, who's basically a figure over there in Iran. They interviewed him via, you know, Skype. And his take on this, and the reason why, and this starts to make a lot more sense on this entire backing off the war with Iran, and he claims this, and they also had Michael Malute on the interview, another interview as well, who's actually a former Pentagon official. And he confirmed the exact same thing. This whole Iran attack that they did with this massive missile, you know, show of force targeting basically dirt and concrete, there was no intent to do significant harm on the strike. If they wanted to do so, they would have done so. The U.S. knew that this strike was coming in, as Dad already put it as well. Iran notified them, basically, and let them know that they were going to have a missile strike. And they even told them, essentially, where they were going to strike. I mean, you couldn't get any more upfront about what you're trying to do and use as a show of force. Now, what Mohammed Mirandi said over in Iran is he said, this was a show of force, And we do not intend on having a head-to-head fight with the United States. We're not going to attack the United States. We're basically going to go in and we're going to level all the Saudi refineries and production facilities along with the United Emirates oil refineries and production facilities. And we're going to completely and totally stop oil production and petrodollar transfers in the entire world. It's going to stop. And even Michael Maloof came on and said there's also been discussions of Iran coming in and seeding the entire Persian Gulf with mines to prevent any tankers from getting through the Persian Gulf. This is why we stopped the war with Iran all of a sudden. This is what's going on, in my opinion, and this guy laid it out really, really, really clearly. The petrodollar and the oil control is exactly what Dad said. We don't need the oil. We're very self-sustaining in the United States. If the petrodollar completely collapses and oil goes to $500 a barrel or more, which it could very easily do if Iran pulled this situation off, the entire U.S. infrastructure would come to a halt immediately. When all of a sudden people start seeing gas prices at $10 and $15 a gallon at the pump, and all of a sudden the petrodollar ceases to exist and our oil dominance and petrodollar dominance of the, you know, the U.S. dollar dominance over the entire world comes to a screeching halt, everything stops in the United States. Everything. I mean, how long do you think semi-trucks are going to be delivering products when it's $15 a gallon for diesel fuel? Now, how long do you think that's going to last? Immediately it's going to stop. So this is what this guy said, and it seems to me that this is exactly what happened. Iran called our bluff on this, and we realized real quick that we could go in and we could start doing airstrikes, and we can do all this fun, fancy stuff. We got F-35s now that need to get used. We need an excuse to go run with those. We got massive amounts of drones we can go in. We don't even need a ground war in that country. But from according to Mohammed Mirandi, they don't plan on having a ground war with us unless they're fully invaded. They're just going to start attacking the United Emirates and Saudi Arabia's oil refineries immediately upon any type of attack. And so that's my take on it. That's what I heard on this interview, and it sounds pretty interesting to me considering that we know how dependent the dollar reserve is because of the petrodollar and how both of those two are completely intertwined now. And remember, the bankers like to have control over everything. If they lose control of the petrodollar, it will massively cripple what they're trying to do. That's just in my opinion, Dad, but that's pretty much what this guy said on it, and it's starting to make a lot of sense on why all of a sudden this hoorah, hoorah rhetoric stopped all of a sudden about Iran literally overnight.
Well, that's a brilliant strategy for Iran. And they figure if they're going to get nuked or they're going to get wiped out or they're going to be killed or destroyed or they're going to be forced to put in a Rothschild central bank who they hate, I mean, they hate the Rothschilds, that if they're going to go out, they're going out in a blaze. And, you know, Barack Obama gave them the ability to do that with all the missile technology, the missiles that he sold them. Yep. They bought with the billions and billions and billions of dollars that we shipped over in pallets. And so that's the problem that we've got right now, guys. And quite frankly, I got to give Iran credit. They played their hand really, really well. I mean, let's go ahead and drop a few bombs here and there and not hurt anybody, let everybody know where they're coming, show our abilities that we have, just lest they think that we can't just knock out Saudi and Arab Emirates or anything else we want to knock out, including Iraq's oil facilities, and just let the world know that they don't need the petrodollar. Here's what would happen. The world holds the United States dollar in reserve in all of their central banks because they're all part of the Rothschild system, except for like Iran and Syria and North Korea. They maintain the value of the dollar based upon the petrodollar and the purchasing of currency or of the oil. If suddenly we could no longer purchase oil, all of the central banks on the planet would dump their doggone dollars. They'd sell them. They'd put them out in the international market. They'd get rid of them. All of their bonds, all of their T-bills, everything would get sold. And the United States currency, the value would drop to hardly anything, and inflation would go through the roof of the United States, and it would literally cripple the entire world economy. Now, the one thing about these boys that they care about more than anything else is their greed. These people are greedy. We were watching a movie with South Park one time, and this is a TV show. I'm not recommending South Park. It's a pretty weird show. But they were, the one time they had the bankers basically decided they were going to destroy the planet Earth because they weren't producing enough anymore. And they were up in wherever they were in their spaceships, lighting their cigars with their $100 bills, just being the douchebags they are, excuse my language. And this is what we have going on right now on this planet. We have this group of international bankers that are beholden to no one but Lucifer. There you have it now. And they have found a way to absolutely enslave the population of the globe through debt. That's what they do. It's through debt. And so if they break that chain on us and we see who they are and they get exposed, the entire world can shake itself loose from the shackles of the Rothschilds. They don't want that. Hence, Netanyahu, who's on their choker chain, has been blissfully silent for the last couple of days, that big mouth lowlife. I mean, he's been quiet, like, oh no, somebody's yanked my choker. In other words, oh no, you're about to get kicked out of office. Oh no, you're about to go to jail. Oh no, you're about to have plastic surgery done into a non-extradition country other than Israel. Or oh no, you're going to be, you know, assassinated. Or whatever oh no's they gave him, all right? He finally shut his mouth. So all of these clowns care more about their greed and their avarice than anything else. What do you think, Austin?
Exactly, and then that's why I wanted to bring this up, because after I saw that RT interview, it made a lot of sense on what happened all of a sudden. Because, I mean, we got Donald Trump every single day tweeting about how big our military is and how many places he's going to hit Iran and all this whole big hoorah, hoorah, we're going to war. And I'm like, okay, here we go again. Another war to get involved in. Not my preference, but whatever. I mean, that's just nothing I can do to physically stop it. And then all of a sudden, they launch some missiles, and all of a sudden, we're supposed to be like, oh, we're scared. You know, like that's kind of the thing. Like, oh, you know, they got our attention. The U.S. military is so advanced. I mean, with the F-35s and all this other crazy stuff we have now with our massive budget, even with those missiles, there is no fight. I mean, the U.S. military is bar none the most advanced in the entire world. So there still is no fight with Iran. But for Iran to pull that card and say, listen, we acknowledge we're not going to go head-to-head. We're not going to go barrel-to-barrel in the fields with muskets like, you know, back in the Revolutionary War. We're not going to do that. We're going to get our butts whooped. So if we go out, we're basically just going to launch in all the oil refineries. Can't stand Iran. Cannot believe that they would pull that card. But I got to give them kudos as well. That's from a strategy, that's brilliant. So let's see what happens with all this now. I'm just glad everything's starting to simmer back down. I mean, that whole context of, you know, whatever, dude, we do not need another escalated war in another country we don't need to be in. So definitely something to realize. Also, too, what's going on stateside in Virginia right now. This is interesting. As you know, there's numerous bills on the table right now that they're trying to push for in Virginia, as we've discussed numerous times, whether it be the one firearm per month purchase policy, the red flag gun laws, the universal background checks between everybody, the registration of firearms. I mean, the whole nine yards. Well, another one now they had just added a few days ago. It was pre-filed on the 6th, 3 days ago. It's an amendment to the Bill of Code of Virginia, Article 3, Chapter 12, 18.2, regarding firing ranges. This is interesting. It says, and used in this section, outdoor shooting ranges, meaning any partially enclosed or unenclosed area or any facility designed for the use of rifles, shotguns, pistols, silhouette, skeet, trap, black powder, or any other similar sporting shooting. It is unlawful to operate an outdoor shooting range within 500 yards of any property zoned for any residential use. Now, do you just understand what I said there? Within 500 yards of any property zoned for residential use, this inherently is going to ban all shooting ranges in most cases. Unless you are literally out on a massive amount of agricultural property that you can turn into a shooting range. They're doing this bill to prevent individuals from training with one another and having militias train with one another in areas that are not extremely rural. 500 yards of any property zoned for any residential use. That doesn't mean there's a house. It doesn't say dwelling. Down here in Florida, it'll say stuff like that, like with a shooting range. Basically, you can't shoot towards any dwelling. house meaning. So if there's a house behind your berm and you put a berm up and you're shooting at the berm, there's a house behind your berm, you can't do that. That's not what it's saying here in Virginia. It's saying within essentially a quarter of a mile, longer than a quarter of a mile, of any property that can be zoned for residential. So you may have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 acres. But if you have any property that connects to you that can be zoned for residential, even if there's no house, even if it could just be zoned for residential and it connects to your property and it's closer than a quarter mile away of your property, you cannot have any type of shooting range whatsoever for even shooting of traps, skeets, silhouettes, black powder, pistols, shotguns, rifles, or any other similar shooting sport. So Virginia is just absolutely bent right now on A, preventing people from being able to train and come together and train, B, being able to own firearms that you can legally defend yourself with, and C, they're just completely bent on bringing in a tyrannical government in Virginia. Very, very crazy stuff to see. And same thing as we've already seen out in Colorado. Colorado, by the way, if you guys haven't heard, they got the all-coveted red flag gun law that went into effect January 1st. As it's literally bouncing state to state to state. And this is what I warned everybody about in Florida. Florida has pretty much always been known as just a southern redneck state down here in Florida. It really is. It's what it's always been. That's becoming a little bit more, you know, upper class now because they're trying to move all the Yankees down here, I guess you could say, and turn the state into a communist state like California. We're seeing that firsthand now with these idiots that are moving down here from up north. And all they want to do is force their opinion and rhetoric and their ideas on us when they move down here because they failed their own state like California. That's a side note. Well, what we saw in Florida when we got red flag gun laws down here in March 2018 was a setting precedent for the rest of the United States. Because everybody in these government heads in these states said, hey, if they pulled that off in Florida and they snuck that bill in Florida basically into army teachers and they snuck the little red flag gun law in there, nobody even really knew much about red flag gun laws until they did it in Florida. There were only a handful of states that have done it, like California and like Connecticut, and I mean nobody really cared about it because you couldn't even hardly own a firearm in those states. Florida is a very, very open state. We can have pretty much all the NFA machine guns we want down here. You can pretty much buy and sell any normal guns that aren't Class 3 in between one another without going through a background check. It's an incredibly great state for firearms. And then they added the red flag gun law. Well, of course, Colorado took suit and did it. And literally the day after it went into effect, January 2nd, a guy was basically hitting his wife, which, by the way, that's horrific. And his wife essentially called the cops on him. They got a big domestic dispute. Well, they found out that he had registered firearms. They went and seized all of his firearms when they arrested him for domestic dispute. Then they went back to the court to pre-file a red flag gun law so they could take possession of his firearms after they already took his firearms. And of course, they were granted the red flag gun law. They already had the firearms in their possession, so they didn't have to do anything. Now this guy basically cannot be in possession of any ammunition or firearm whatsoever for another 362 days to the end, you know, basically the end of the year, or else he's charged with a felony. Now, I don't know much about this guy. He may be a complete and total sack of poo. I mean, he's beating his wife. I mean, that's not something that I condone or even think that's okay under any circumstances. But again, they've already set the precedent now of seizing firearms during a dispute or an arrest and coming back and getting a red flag gun law order after the fact that they've already seized the firearms and then implementing it after they've already taken it. That, my friends, is an unbelievably scary precedent that Colorado just did, and apparently they think it's all and well and good. And you got to think about that. That would be like you having a dispute with a neighbor. You have a dispute with a neighbor. You and your neighbor don't get along. He's got a dog you don't like, or he blares his music too loud, and you guys are always arguing over the fence. Well, all of a sudden, somebody does something. Somebody gets the cops called. The cops show up over this dispute. Somebody gets arrested. Well, when somebody gets arrested, they basically find out, they know, you already have firearms in the house. So now you're getting arrested for a dispute. Now they go in your house unlawfully, seize your firearms, then go to the court the next day to get a red flag confiscation order, so it's all legal then, and file it, and now they have your firearms, they seize them without a warrant, basically violating the Fifth Amendment, and then you go in and they completely and totally remove you of due process. this is something crazy, this is what they're trying to do, and this is what we have going on domestically right now in the United States, in many of states, and this is what I told my buddy the other day. We were talking, he was all gung-ho, whole Iran thing, this and that, and I said, listen, I said, we have a massive problem in the southern border still. We still have hundreds of thousands of people coming over illegally. We have drugs and guns coming over. We have the Mexican cartel completely out of control in Mexico. Mexico's borderline failed state right now. I mean, you got Juarez, Mexico. You got Mexico. I mean, you got some unbelievably violent areas down there right below our border. And remember, that talk's done now. The wall, all this stuff. You don't hear about any of that anymore. That was something he ran on. They talked about it. It went kaput. And as I said many a times, the wall's only as good as the people that protect it. We need another 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 border agents to patrol it 24/7. That's what needs to be going on right now in the United States and addressing what's going on. But again, keep everybody focused on the narrative, and that's another war in another country we don't even know and we don't even want to be in, simply for the protection of the petrodollar and the bankers' interest, because pretty much all wars are banker wars, Deb.
Well, they've always have been. They've got to find a way to make money on them. I mean, they started with Napoleonic Wars, went way before that, went with the Roman conflicts, with the money changers loaning money to the Roman government. Also, I want you to go ahead and post that RT article on the Health Masters news site. You can send that to Harrison, because
on it right now.
I want that one posted. Also, send it to me, because I'm going to refer that back to multiple other shows that I'm involved with, because I want to have the ability to show people this is what's going on. This is why Trump stood down. Now, also, guys, let me ask you a question. Rodney Howard Brown has asked me to start a Twitter account. Now, I can do that. Now, I don't know how many of you guys want to have me, you know, follow us on Twitter. I have no idea. We pretty much post all of the shows and all the stories on the website. So I don't know if you want me to be dinging your dog on Twitter on your telephone 25 times a day when I'm posting all these shows to your Twitter feed. So let me know if you want me to do that, because at this point in time, you know, it's pretty effective using this broadcast to get communication with you guys. But if you want me to tweet stuff to you so you can forward it, I can do that too. But let me know if you're willing to start doing that with us, because I'd have to start a brand new Twitter account with like zero followers. It's going to grow. It's going to have thousands probably within a few months. Even probably more if all you guys sign up. I just need to know what you guys want to do. By the way, Representative Bradley Byrne has now moved to censor Pelosi for holding up the impeachment. I think that's okay. He will introduce a resolution on Thursday to censor House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for obstructing the impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump. Breitbart News has learned exclusively. Byrne, who is vying for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate this year from his native Alabama, believes the speaker has broken congressional precedent by refusing to send the articles of impeachment to Senate Majority Mitch McConnell. Speaker Pelosi's decision to hold the articles of impeachment against President Trump is a pathetic and unconstitutional attempt to extract concessions from the Senate. Is an unprecedented abuse of power, Byrne told Breitbart News in an exclusive statement. House Democrats made the misguided direction and decision to rush through the most legally unsound and factually unsupported compromised articles of impeachment in the history of this country, and they can now insist that the Senate fix their shoddy and incomplete work. Now, I think he's right about this, because Nancy Pelosi, basically, who is, in my opinion, is suffering advanced senile dementia. She's probably on all kinds of Alzheimer's drugs. That's my opinion. Is a nightmare, and she just needs to be shut down completely, and she does not need to be reelected. Here's another article here from the Children's Health Defense. Vaccine failure, the glaring problem officials are ignoring, part one measles vaccination. It says, studies show that the levels of measles antibody progressively decrease with increase in over time since vaccination. Moreover, additional boosters do not solve the problem. In other words, the kids who are being vaccinated for the measles are coming down with the measles later on in life, whereas if you get the measles naturally, you don't ever come down with the measles again. It's a major problem for guys who start getting the measles and the mumps, et cetera, because it can affect reproduction. And it goes on to say, it is far from uncommon, including the measles, mumps, rubella vaccines that are used in the United States, to fail to live up to their textbook promises. In other words, they don't work. Right at the starting gate, they were from 12% of the children who received their first measles-containing vaccine basically exhibit primary vaccine failure. In other words, they're not getting any immunity whatsoever. Infants born to vaccinated mothers had a measles attack rate nearly triple that of babies born unvaccinated mothers, 33% versus 12%. So now we're starting to see that the real numbers, the real statistics of the MMR vaccine are abysmal. In 2015, the sequencing of 194 U.S. measles cases showed that nearly 2 in 5, 38%, were the result of the vaccine strain rather than the wild-type measles virus. Are you listening to this? Out of the 194 measles cases, almost 40% were the result of the measles vaccine itself. This is a very ineffectual immunization, vaccine, whatever you want to call it, and it's something that we need to all be looking at and understand that when you get measles as a child, you don't ever get measles again. When you get mumps as a child, you don't ever get mumps again. It's so very, very important that we all understand that and we tell our friends that. By the way, here's another article on how glyphosate herbicide has destroyed America's wheat. And it says, and it's basically, we said that America has a major problem with its wheat supply. It is basically virtually all wheat grown in northern climates is contaminated with glyphosates. There are currently no GMO wheat grown in the U.S., even though from time to time a farmer will find wheat growing that does not die when sprayed with glyphosate herbicides. Imagine that. There are no doubt rogue varieties of wheat left over from GMO test plots years ago. There's no currently grown GMO wheat. The problem is that the food is contaminated with glyphosate. It is sprayed on the wheat and it also sprayed on corn about a week before harvest to increase the yield per acre. So you're basically soaking down your wheat and your corn with glyphosate. That means this product is going to be ingested by you if you eat these products. It's going to massively increase your risks of cancer, period. They've linked 12 different types of cancers to glyphosate now by their own testing at Monsanto that was released through the Freedom of Information Act. I've covered these multiple times on this show. So, guys, if you're going to eat bread products, you need to make sure they're organic, from organically grown wheat, period. And now, if every once in a while you slipped up and had a biscuit, whatever, a Cracker Barrel, it's not that big of a deal. But you can't be buying this non-organic wheat and bread products and all these different compounds and cereals and cakes and all this and giving it to your kids. You don't want to do that. Or your body can handle a little bit of this stuff, but you don't want to put anything in there if you can avoid it. You need to be eating organic all of the time. So be really, really careful with this, guys. And make sure you take care of that gut. You can use the glutamine. You can use all kinds of other products that we have to increase the intestinal tract strength. You can use the black seed oil. You can use the GHI cleanse, but you've got to take care of your gut, because you start messing up your gut and the ability of your gut to absorb nutrients, you start to age really, really fast and get sick really, really fast because your body can't absorb the E, D, K, C, all of those different things, the antioxidants, the selenium, can't be absorbed properly through a damaged gut, which then causes your body to start going into mineral reserves, which then means you're starting to age real quickly, which then means your reserve energy is going to drop down, which then means you're going to be really subject to cancer. You're going to have a much higher incidence of cancer. So be really, really careful eating non-organic corn and wheat. In fact, I won't even touch GMO Roundup sprayed corn. If the corn's not organic, I don't even want to be around it. It's that poisonous. What do you think, Austin?
That's 100% accurate. I rarely even eat corn, period. I try not to eat anything that actually even has corn products in it, I'll be honest with you. And I can always tell if I'm out eating at a restaurant and I do slip up and I eat something, I can almost invariably tell every time that I've had exposure to glyphosate now. And some people laugh at me, they're like, oh, that's, you're ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you can tell. When you eat really, really, really clean organic food on a regular basis and you eat stuff that has pesticides and herbicides in it, you can feel it. Your digestion's off, your energy's off, your brain's off, it's not right. You're not clicking perfectly on all eight cylinders anymore. And, you know, if you do it occasionally, because, I mean, granted, let's be honest, none of us eat perfect 100% of the time unless you're getting, you know, contest prep. And that's just, honestly, a nightmare of a diet after a while. You can't sustain that forever. So, I mean, occasionally you're going to slip up, you're going to eat something. So one thing that I've told a lot of people that I've found worked for me is that if I am out somewhere, or I'm eating something and I do eat something that I shouldn't eat, or I'm at somebody's house and they have something, I try to be strict, but occasionally we all slip up, is the GHI cleanse and the turmeric force. The GHI cleanse is really, really good at detoxifying the liver, the kidneys, and also reducing inflammation in the gut and digestive tract, small intestines, and so forth. And it also helps, again, to detoxify the body and basically pull toxins out. The turmeric is also another anti-inflammatory that's really good, because one thing that a lot of people don't realize is the inflammation that so many people are having to deal with now on a regular basis, whether it's joint, you know, wrist, knees, stomach, gut, that's the very common ones, the gut, is a lot of it comes down to inflammation. And when the body becomes inflamed because of an overexposure to toxins, you start having all kinds of issues with inflammation. And so getting that inflammation cascade down is one of the most important things you can do if you get exposed to this stuff. But like I said, the best thing is GHI Cleanse and the Turmeric Force coupled together. Take, you know, about 2 scoops of the GHI Cleanse twice a day, and I'll usually take about 4 Turmeric Force twice a day with that. And I'll usually do that for a couple days. And occasionally, even if I'm eating clean, I'll still run that product on a semi-regular basis just to kind of keep my body cleansed out of what's in it and what's exposed to, because, I mean, let's face it, it's getting worse and worse and worse. The food supply, the food quality, and a lot of these companies with these supplements they produce and these powders they produce, I'm shocked when I find out, when I know, and I can't say any names just because I don't want to deal with the backlash of that, but I've known companies that they've gotten supplements together and they literally just order all the raws from China, everything. The cheapest raws they can get, they throw it in there. They got these fancy names. They got aminos on it that people see. They'll have alpha lipoic acid in it. You know, oh, we've got this and that in it. And then you find out, and you start talking to them, and you find out what they're actually have in the product and what their actual expenses in the product. And you find out they're having these huge, huge, huge margins. And that's why you see them, some of these companies, they can go on sale. Oh, 50% off this product, 75% off this product. Guys, the only time you've ever seen me even come up close to, you know, 20, 30, 40% off is usually when I have something that's about to expire and I'm basically dumping it below cost. And like we did with the Ultimate Multiple Powder before, a lot of people took advantage of that deal. Other than that, you're losing money if you're putting real, true, high-quality U.S. or New Zealand or European-based nutrients in a lot of these supplements, and you have them in the clinical relative dosing that we put them in with a clean, clear, pure, raw ingredient. They're not cheap. There's no possible way to make them cheap. If I could do so, make them any cheaper, trust me, I would do so. It's not possible. So again, when you see these companies that come out with these bold claims on these supplements and the bottles, you know, $59.99, and all of a sudden they have it on sale for $15.99, and you're like, you're selling it for $50, and now you put it on sale for $15? I mean, golly, how are you seriously able to produce the product that cheap with these ingredients in it? The answer is yes, if you're getting a lot of the raws from China. And we do our absolute best to get everything we can to be non-GMO and from different countries that basically don't adopt the practices of using massive amounts of glyphosate or chemicals or toxins. Europe has a lot of good stuff. I know, like, Switzerland makes our Tongat Ali over there. A lot of companies you can find out of Europe that still have very, very, very high quality control standards. And one of those countries that does not have high quality control standards is China. That's why when you see a lot of these companies that get busted when they test their ingredients and they're full of lead, cadmium, mercury, and all this stuff, 99.99% of the time, I will put money on it that every single time those raws get tested and they have those high levels of toxins, 99% of the time, they're coming out of China. That's why I tried to do my best not to get anything out of China. And then on top of that, we also have everything assayed and tested to be tested for heavy metals to make sure they're as pure as possible. And we've had batches before in the past of stuff. It'll come back with a small amount of residual of some type of toxin in it. Nope, done, scrap it. We're not doing that. We will not allow that to be in our supplements. And that's why so many people, when they try our Health Masters products, they go, man, I actually feel it. You know, I take the Ultimate Multiple Powder, I actually get energy out of it. You know, I take the magnesium, I feel better, I have better cognitive functioning with it. They say, yeah, because the product actually works. You're not just buying a fancy label from a fancy salesperson and saying, oh, this is great, this got this ingredient in it, buy it for $100 a bottle, and then all of a sudden you turn around the next day and it's on sale for $19, and you're like, wow, that was a cool deal. No, guys, this is what we try to do the best we can at Health Masters, produce the highest quality supplements so people can stay healthy, because that's the only way we can maintain a resistance, whether it's in the media, whether it's with our immune systems, whether it's in the truth and getting this stuff out there. We have to be able to resist. We have to be able to get information. We have to be able to stay strong and healthy. And if you, and people know, if you've been sick before and you've gotten a high temperature, gotten the flu, and you've gotten sick, you know, you're pretty much worthless when you're sick for a couple days. I mean, I've been there before. There's not much doing anything. You're done. And that's what the globalists are betting on, and that's why they're allowing these foods to be contaminated with glyphosate and sucralose and aspartame and high fructose corn syrup in bulk. They know it. If they wanted people to be healthy, they would have already banned these compounds that have been linked to cancer and all types of health, like fatty liver, a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. That's like one of the most common effects of high fructose corn syrup, and it's plaguing our country now. Even children, teenagers are coming down with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. You can pull it up. I talked about it a couple months ago online. And yet, nobody wants to talk about that. The one number one direct contributor to that is high fructose corn syrup in almost everything that's processed now, including sodas, which I still am shocked that people buy those by the droves. Every time I go to the store and I see people pushing carts around with soda in them, it just boggles my mind. People put that stuff in their body, Dad.
Well, you know, the GHI cleanse is probably... it's probably one of HealthMaster's best products. I mean, because of what it does. And, you know, we've got the vanilla, we have it in stock, we also have the chocolate, we keep it in stock. And people have had just tremendous results who've had irritated guts, who've had, you know, basically spastic colons, who've had all kinds of colitis issues when they start using the GHI cleanse. In many cases, it helps a lot. And the other thing you got to do is if you got those kind of problems, you've really got to get off the GMO foods. I mean, I don't have. I tell you, it's stuff poisonous. And on top of that, it's got glyphosate in it. I mean, so just stay away from it. And you're right, Austin. If the government really cared about you, they'd take glyphosate off the market. If they really cared about you, they'd take Tylenol off the market. Tylenol, it's the number one cause of liver failure and liver transplants in the United States. Every single year, hundreds of thousands of people are hospitalized because of Tylenol. Hundreds of thousands. But yet, they leave it on the market. It blows my mind. It really does. I mean, it just tells you how incredibly compromised the FDA is, Congress is, because of lobbying efforts from these manufacturers that put literally billions of dollars into their campaign coffers every year to keep them in office so they keep these poisonous products on the market. I mean, glyphosate should be gone. Aspartame should be gone. Sucralose should be gone. Tylenol should be gone. High fructose corn syrup should be gone. That's why, heck, back in the 90s, I put together a list of the top 10 foods never to eat if you wanted to stay healthy. They included pork products, aspartame products, high-fat luncheon meats, hydrogenated oils, sugar, high-fructose corn syrup, chlorine, fluoride, processed dairy products, coffee, and alcohol. And people say, well, why did you put that list together? I said, because it needed to be out there, that people needed to know there were certain foods that were causing so many of the problems in the United States. Now, if you have a glass of beer, a glass of wine every once in a while, it's no big deal. Or you have some organic milk every once in a while, it's no big deal. But, yeah, there's some things on that list that just need to be avoided. If you have a cup of coffee every once in a while, it's no big deal. But certain foods need to be treated like they're the plague. Like, you know, there's this leprous rat that's walking through your kitchen. You don't want to stop and kill the rat and eat it. Yeah, that's pretty gross one. That's pretty much, that was too far out there. But that's, I want you to know, but that's what you got to avoid. You know, I talked to a plumber yesterday. The guy's been sick for a month, and the guy's into eating pork. Loves pork. Eats pork all the time. Loves pork here, pork there, here, pork there, pork everywhere, pork, pork. And that's how he looks at life. And his immune system's shot. Like he's in his 20s, 30s, and he can't get better. And I finally felt so bad for him. I gave him vitamins. I said, take this D3K2. It'll turn your white blood cells on. It'll activate your macrophages. Here, take this vitamin C and stop eating pork. I sent him like 15 links last night about pork, about how it's the number one cause of cancer globally, how it shuts down the immune system. Whether he's going to listen or not, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have another friend of mine who's a talk show host who's very, very overweight. And I talked to him. You know, he was coming down with diabetes. And I said, dude, you're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. But the problem is he eats out all the time. Every time I talk to him, he's in a restaurant eating out. He's 100 pounds overweight. And it's a difficult lifestyle to change, especially if your wife can't cook. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, especially if you can't cook and your wife can't cook. How about if I say it that way? And you got to eat out all the time. Guys, get our cookbook. It's not that you can't cook. You're not putting an effort at it. That's the problem. Everybody wants to make it so easy. Eat clean and be healthy. All the recipes are in the book. Just follow it. It says a quarter cup, put a quarter cup. Do this, do that. You can teach yourself how to cook and eat clean, but eating in restaurants is very, very difficult. Now, one of the other things, whenever I go to a restaurant, they're always asking me, you know, would you like some bottled water? Would you want sparkling or flat? Let's talk about sparkling water, because every time I go to Europe and I order water, they bring me this stuff that tastes like Alka-Seltzer, all right? It's awful, sparkling water. Now, you got to realize that a lot of people do this on a regular basis because they think it's healthy for you. And you got to realize that, you know, fizzy fluids have different compounds in them to make them fizzy. In fact, one of the things that you use is carbonic acid, and it's got a pH that's between 3 and 4. The feel-good sensation that you get after sipping a carbonated drink is the fact that the chemical activation of pain receptors on your tongue have responded to the acids. Okay? That's what you're getting. So you got to avoid this stuff. You know, it starts to dissolve the outer layer of your teeth, your tooth enamel, and this is what it does. And so there's a balance between the tooth minerals and minerals in the saliva. So when you start doing sodas, you start drinking carbonated water or the fizzy water, it's really, really bad for your teeth. It can create demineralization of your teeth. They can create tiny pores in the tooth mineral enamel, and it starts to dissolve the teeth, and your teeth start falling out and start rotting and breaking. You're just sitting around, and you're eating a doggone sandwich, and a tooth breaks off. Had it happened to a friend of mine named Mike here a couple of years ago. He walked around with a tooth missing for a year until he got it replaced. I've got another friend of mine who basically is a car sales guy. He's walking around with his tooth gone because they're just eating a sandwich and the tooth just breaks off. And so many of the times when this happens, it's because they're living on sodas. I've got another friend of mine. He's friends with no teeth, right? Toothless. He basically does all my audio stuff, you know, stereo stuff for me. And he was missing like 4 or 5 teeth. Lived on sodas. Just basically dissolved his teeth. Finally, a dentist felt sorry for him. He's a great guy, and gave him like all new teeth, all, you know, basically implants, because his teeth had all rotted out. Guys, I know another guy who's a yard maintenance guy. He's wearing dentures. He's 50 years old, been wearing dentures for 15 years. He used to drink 6 to 12 sodas a day. Guys, this stuff dissolves tooth enamel. It allows your teeth to get cavities in them. It dissolves the bones in your body, causing osteoporotic fractures. It makes you have an acid pH, which increases the risks of cancer. Because remember, the pH has to be acidic for cancer to thrive in your body. And when you alkalinize your body, the cancer dies. That's just a fact, by the way, because you guys didn't know that. So all of these things need to be avoided. You need to avoid this. You say, well, I don't like the way water tastes. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm not entertained by my water because it's distilled. It might be a little bit sweet, but I still don't like it. I want to be entertained by all my beverages. Okay, well, that's one. Take some fresh organic lemons and take a little squirt and put it in distilled water and sweeten it with some stevia. Guys, the lemonade, stevia tastes rotten to most stuff. It does. Stevia is pretty much awful. But if you put it in lemonade, it tastes great. It tastes absolutely great, especially when the lemons are organic. We have like 3 lemon trees in our backyard. Now, I hear you now. Well, you got those lemon trees in your backyard. That's why you drink that lemonade. Okay, look, you can buy the lemons pretty cheap. You get them pretty cheap, and you get them organic pretty cheap. Just squirt a lemon into every glass of water, put a little stevia in there. Now you have lemonade. So there's all kinds of natural things that you can do to entertain your taste buds. And I do. I do. When I have lemons in season, I probably drink, you know, at least 1 or 2 glasses of lemonade every single day. And plus, the lemon is really, really good because it acts like the bile does in the body and like part of the digestive system. And it really, really helps to strengthen your liver and your digestive enzymes. Lemon is one of the healthiest things you can put, and the ratio is 1 ounce of lemon juice to 9 ounces of water. But it needs to be fresh lemon juice, not the reconstituted lemons that come as little fake lemons that you squeeze into a glass. It needs to be the real lemons, one of the healthiest things you can do. Guys, a lot of health information on today's show. I'm glad we can help you with that. I've had multiple requests that we put more health information on the show. I love you guys. And by the way, thank you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for getting your toothpaste from us. You know, thank you for getting your supplements from us. And, you know, when you call us up and you've got health questions and we see that you've been supporting us, we're here to help. We are. But, guys, if you're getting your stuff from Walmart or whatever and you want to call us up and want to know why those supplements don't work or why you've got cancer or why you've got heart disease or why you've got diabetes, you know, we really aren't in that field to try to help you with other people's products or what's going on with your health because you made bad choices and bad decisions. So when you support us, it really gives us an incentive to do research for you guys. So many of you know this. You'll send me an article. You'll send me a question. And you, within 10 minutes, I'll send you 10 or 15 articles back. You say, well, I don't want that much. Well, you ask me a question, you're going to get it. If I know you support us and you're praying for us and you're here for us, I'm going to do the same thing to you. I love you guys. I got to pray for you today. It was my privilege to do that. So thank you for getting your toothpaste without fluoride from us. And thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. You guys rock. Austin, I love you guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Austin, the show is yours.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you again for the support of HealthMasters.com. We appreciate it. Be sure to check out the website. Got a lot of different specials going up. The zinc glycinate is on the website as product of the week. You guys voted, and it won. And it's basically zinc glycinate, unbelievably absorbable form, bioavailable form, promotes the immune system and reproductive health. Always very, very good formula for men that are trying to increase sperm mobility. It also helps out with sleep patterns and muscle recovery at night. So zinc's a very important nutrient. It's already in the Ultimate Multiple and so forth, but again, a lot of people like to add additional amounts of it into their diet, and this is one of the easiest, most effective ways to do so. And also be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week as product of the week. I think Eyesight and the Purple Sticks, there's a bunch of hot ones. Prostate Support, this is going to be a fun session of the product of the week going up till next Wednesday. So be sure to get on the website and vote for what you want to see win. And again, just thank you for everybody just getting this information out there. You know, sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Continually get this, because as you see, I mean, Ted and I, we're always trying to give you the real true perspective of what's going on. Not left side, not right side. You know, this Democrat, Republican, dude, I don't play that game. Same thing with Dad. We're trying to give you guys the real news on what's happening, whether it be health topics, whether it be real world topics. We spend a considerable amount of time researching this stuff and making sure and vetting that we have information accurate and trying to get the balanced act, the balancing act of getting the real truth out of all the lies. So very, very, very interesting to see what's been going on the last couple weeks. Stay prepared. Stay ready. Again, just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean that you shouldn't actively stay ready on a regular basis. Hitting the gym on a regular basis. Training with your firearms on a regular basis. Making sure you're rotating food and water storage in your house on a regular basis. Do the best you can with what you have. Thank you again for the support of Health Masters. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.